Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Brendan Weikert, my colleague for the Quantum Report, Detouring to Artificial Intelligence. And Brendan has brought to my attention a fabulous new work by Eric Schmidt, Dan Hendricks, and Alexander Wang. It's available online. Superintelligence Strategy, Expert Version. This is a story that I read as a child, science fiction story. What happens if we give everything to the supercomputers and they don't need us? Brendan, a very good evening to you. Superintelligence Strategy, Expert Version. This is a serious piece of speculation about the future and artificial intelligence. What is the risk? Good evening to you, Brendan.
Well, good evening, John. Thank you for having me. And you'll remember Eric Schmidt, before Henry Kissinger died, wrote an entire book about how we're going to have to adapt at the national security level to the rise of AI. And now here comes this new report from him outlining some of the concerns about this new technology. Basically, the idea behind this new technology or this new report is that he's concerned. He's concerned about the proposals coming from some quarters about a Manhattan Project-like undertaking by the U.S. federal government. And he's, in the report, throwing some cold water on the claims that we need a Manhattan Project because he's worried that it will create, I think the term is MAME, mutually assured, and I'm forgetting the rest of the acronym.
AI malfunction.
Like AI malfunction, thank you. And it's basically a lot like the Cold War era strategy with nuclear weapons of mutual assured destruction or MAD.
What we're looking at here is a projection that the artificial intelligence toy will turn into smarter than everybody together, all of us on the planet, and can fall into the hands of bad actors. In addition, there is the risk of an arms race, similar to the nuclear weapons arms race that we watched in the middle of the 20th century. There is also the suggestion that the superintelligence of the AI can cut itself loose from mankind, have no human in the chain whatsoever, and create conditions that are hostile to human beings coexisting. All of that was in the science fiction stories I read as a child in the 1960s. They didn't use AI then. They used the word computer magically. Now, Brendan, I call upon you because you're a young father. Did this article convince you, or did it suggest that they've drifted away from the practical of AI?
Well, as you know, I also do a lot of work with the Defense Department on issues like this, and this is not the first time somebody has raised these concerns. As a father, I'm always concerned about the potentiality of weaponization of new deadly technologies, and the AI could very well become a very deadly technology. At the same time, the fact of the matter is, and Schmidt even acknowledges this, our American rivals, notably China, are developing their own systems. And so we find ourselves in a position where if we don't develop similar systems, we will be overtaken by a rival that is developing these very powerful systems. So am I worried as a father? Yes. But we've been down this road before, haven't we? And particularly your generation with nuclear weapons. So maybe, just maybe, we will be able to figure out a way through it the way that your generation did.
In the abstract, I read this sentence. We introduced the concept of mutual assured AI malfunction, acronym MAME, M-A-I-M, a deterrence regime resembling nuclear mutual assured destruction, MAD, M-A-D, where any state's aggressive bid for unilateral AI dominance is met with preventive sabotage by rivals. Yeah. There's a mystery to preventive sabotage by rivals because MAD was about mutually assured destruction. You use nukes, we'll use nukes, and right. we're all gone. So right. they're projecting sabotage of AI. Are they thinking they take the whole system down? You know, if you don't stop, I'm going to commit suicide?
Yeah, this is the thing that I'm confused by, because MAD is not in any way preventive. It's actually more reactive, whereas this sounds like we would be developing systems to actively undercut a rival system, which in and of itself could actually spark a conflict if we go at some other country for developing an advanced AI.
Well, that's the thinking behind the ABM treaty of the 20th century. If we can prevent missiles landing, it's more likely yes. that we're going to have a war yes. than less likely.
Yes, and I see what you're saying. And this is why I told you before we started, is that there's going to be a lot they need to work out with the theory here. But ultimately, it's a rough analogy to nuclear weapons. I do think, though, Schmidt is onto something. I also think Schmidt is responding. You have to understand there's a lot of subtext here, because obviously Schmidt is politically not aligned with Elon Musk and some of what they call the broligarchs behind Trump. Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, and all of his ilk in Silicon Valley very much want robust development of AI. In fact, Mark Andreessen said to Barry Weiss, the only reason all these tech guys got behind Trump the way they did was because Biden was threatening to basically classify AI research and development, which would have made all those guys broke. Schmidt is much more, it sounds like, on the side of Biden when it comes to AI, which is that he's kind of resistant, and he's kind of skeptical of our ability to manage it, which is why he's throwing cold water on these notion of AI development.
A rough analogy, the nuclear weapon from 1945, Oppenheimer and the scientists believe that it should be shared. The secrets of the nuclear weapon should be shared in order to prevent an arms race or the secrets falling into the hands of bad actors. That's what they believe. But they were scientists. They weren't leaders of nations. Eisenhower interpreted this, and it became Atoms for Peace, which we know now was camouflage. Yeah. Because there was a nuclear arms race underway even then between the Soviets and the U.S. building weapons. And the diversion into building nuclear power plants, the first one, I believe, was in Pennsylvania. I think I got a model for that for my 12th birthday. That's how old I am. The nuclear power was meant to show that we can use the atom for peace as well as war. However, these many decades later, you know it for war. Is that correct, Brandon? Yes, it has peacetime applications, but they proved dangerous after Chernobyl and Three Mile Island. So we know it for war.
Well, and let's not forget, Atoms for Peace was also abused by foreign powers to get backdoor access to nuclear technology that was then weaponized. For instance, as I show in my book, The Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy, the original Iranian nuclear weapons program actually began in the final years of the Shah, who gained access to basic nuclear material via the Atoms for Peace program. And that sort of lingered on with the follow-on regime. So Atoms for Peace is absolutely not entirely peaceful.
The strategy recommended, the positive part, deterrence, detect and deter destabilizing AI projects with cyber espionage and sabotage. That's weapons, okay. Or nonproliferation, reliably know the location of AI chips and prevent rogue actors from smuggling them. That's what happens with the IAEA, and we know that it's usually hobbled by politics. And competitiveness, guarantee access to AI chips through domestic manufacturing. That's sharing nuclear secrets. We've tried all three, and it comes down to a nuclear arsenal we can't get rid of.
That's right. Well, in AI, once you know the genie's been let out of the bottle already, I doubt that there's going to be any putting that genie back in the bottle. So I on some level, I agree we should have more international cooperation for safe development of the technology. Ultimately, though, I think it's going to be infinitely more difficult to apply the same kind of anti-proliferation protocols onto AI development that we have managed to apply onto nuclear weapons development or nuclear technology development, just because AI, unlike nukes, is going to touch every aspect of our civilian life.
News item in these last days, TSMC is not afraid of losing Washington subsidies for its massive U.S. investments, according to the chief of the world's largest chip maker. And he has followed these remarks follow Donald Trump's call to get rid of the $52 billion CHIPS Act. The point of this is TSMC says that it's going to put a huge amount of money into developing fabs here in the United States so that we're not all dependent upon one fab outside of Taipei on a fault line within easy gunshot of China. Will it work to your interest, Brandon? I'm moving the fabs here. We have 30 seconds.
Yes, I think it's a great idea. I just don't know if they're going to be able to get it done before China decides to make a move against Taiwan.
Brandon reminding us he is a senior fellow at the Center for National Interest, in addition to the National Security Correspondent for National Interest and Popular Mechanics.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.